Om Shanti. Good morning. So today's topic is Satyam Shivam Sundaram. So when I got this topic first, I thought what to speak on Satyam Shivam Sundaram. It's just that it's truth, and truth is Shiva, and Shiva is beautiful. So I went into the literature what others have spoken about Satyam Shivam and Sundaram. So they say that it means that God is truth, and truth is Shiva, and Shiva is beautiful. And spirituality is a journey from the outer world of names and forms to the subtle world of energies, the innermost core of being. So they are referring it to as soul. And Satyam or truth is multidimensional, unchanging in time and space. And Shivam, they've spoken as embodiment of calmness and tranquility, innocence and benevolence. And Sundaram is beauty. So we move from recognizing beauty outside to beauty within. And Adi Shankaracharya, in his composition Sundari Lehri, that is Waves of Beauty, he spoke Sundariya Lehri. So he spoke about Apangat or Kama, that is the love of God. And when God of love is an archer with a bow, an arrow with five flowers. Okay, Cupid. So when when Apangat hits you with this arrow of flower, a wave of beauty is created in you, and the five flowers represent the five senses. So when you are stuck with this arrow, you experience something which is beyond senses, and you experience a wave of beauty which is arising in deep inside you, and then you dissolve into formless. So I think he is speaking related to soul conscious stage here. And further he said that when you look at a beautiful scenery, your eyes just shut down and you sink into the ocean of beauty. When you listen to music, you get immersed into the music and you forget the lyrics of the song. When you see a beautiful flower, the flower remains outside and you start taking the fragrance of it. So you become fully immersed in it. So he says that in this way Adi Shankaracharya has described beautiful journey from the gross to the subtle, from outer to the inner world, and from form to the formless, from limited to the unlimited. And he said that established in a such state, you start appreciating everything of the world, from a thorn to the snail, and you start appreciating beauty without possessiveness. And I think beauty here, he is referring to soul consciousness. And beauty can also bring ecstasy, and he says that it draws you into deep meditation state. And now he says further that meditation is a deep relaxation, complete relaxation. And it is the art of getting touch with your own self, with your own divinity, and back to your nature. So he says to be able to perceive truth or beauty in creation, calmness is essential. An agitated mind can neither see truth nor can appreciate beauty. That's why Satyam, Shivam and Sundaram always go together. And then somebody said that Shivam does not only refer to the Hindu god Shiva, but Shivam also refers to the goodness within yourself. That's what. And spiritual science says that Satyam is that existing always, and it is unaffected by time and space, which is always there in existence. This truth is Shivam, the most auspicious, and that is the state of tranquility or unadulterated happiness. And the meaning of the three word phrase is the one who is truthful and benefactor is beautiful, and the phrase originates from the glory of God Shiva, and he is the ultimate truth, and he is the world benefactor, and he is the most beautiful supreme soul in terms of divine virtues and powers, and he is the beloved supreme father of all the souls. The second word Shivam, it means virtue, all that is good, all that is valuable, all that is most precious in you, the ultimate good. That's what other people have spoken. And the man who comes to experience the truth start living the truth immediately, and there is no alternative to it. So Shivam means truth in action, truth in your life, truth in your love, truth in your friendship, truth in your eyes, truth in your heart. And Shivam is the action of truth. So a man of truth is the only proof that the world is divine, and Shivam is the action. So whatever he does Like they were given an example that if he's chopping wood and carrying water, all those ordinary activities also will be having a subtle difference. And he's in his total act. And the totality brings the third word, that is the Sundaram. So now what Baba says about Satyam, Shivam and Sundaram is just revising our own knowledge that God is truth, and Baba at confluence age is coming and giving his introduction to all the souls of the world. So if you go back to the world chakra, after 2500 years, we started worshipping God. And first it was an unadulterated worship, like people started worshipping Jyotilingam, Shivling, and that is in the form of the 12 Shivling temples in India and containing these 12 Jyotilingams, and these are the oldest temples on earth. As the soul still had fresh memory of Supreme Soul, but due to body consciousness they looked upon a physical symbol for worshipping. And initially the worship, the devotion was still unadulterated, and one God concept existed that time. And as the soul started losing their virtues and strength, then the adulteration in worship came and devotion came into existence, and they started worshipping God in, and different concepts came like Shiva, Allah, Jivoha, and in the multiple forms. And then today in Kali Yuga, and souls have become so weak that they've forgotten their original identity as children of the same Supreme Father. So here when it is the Copper Age, different religious establishers came on earth and they started giving introduction of God. Like Jesus Christ came and he said, God is light, my Father is light, and he is in heaven. Muhammad Prophet or the messengers of Islam, they came and said God is Nur-e-Ilahi. And like that, other religious establishers came and started giving introduction of God. Now if you see this, that if you want to give, suppose if I want to give my introduction, and 3-4 people are giving my introduction, they will have their own views about me. But the best introduction about me can be given by my own self. So like that, at the confluence age, Baba is coming and taking the medium of Brahma Baba and giving us the true knowledge here. And he is giving us the best introduction of himself at confluence age. So now it is the time that we go back to our roots, become one with the Supreme One and amongst ourselves. Supreme Father has descended on earth for this purpose, to transform us and start the next cycle, that is the Golden Age. And Baba is establishing Golden Age, and Golden Age is also known as the Age of Truth, the Land of Truth. Like in yesterday's Murli, Baba has spoken few points related to why Shiva is truth. Like Maya has completely locked your intellects. Until the Father comes and gives you the true recognition, all their thoughts are sinful. Only the one Father is called the truth. Everything he tells you is true. He speaks the truth and establishes the land of truth. He speaks the truth and he establishes the land of truth. And then in this book, Satyam, Shivam and Sundaram, the second part is Shiva. Now here in this book, different names of Shiva is given, and what are the duties of Baba and what are the qualities and virtues of Baba has been described. I have picked up few from that, in praise of God. So Alf, Baba is known as the One, the One. The Father is only one and he is the incorporeal one. Father of all souls is one and he is called the Supreme Father. The creator of the world is one and there cannot be many. Then second, Baba is also known as Sat Chit Anand. That's the truth, the living being and the embodiment of bliss. He is known as, third is Ishwar. Ishwar means the most elevated. The Father is always incorporeal and he is therefore worthy of worship. And there is no sweetness experienced by saying that he is God or he is Paramatma or he is Ishwar. So that's why when Baba is coming at confluence age, he is establishing a relationship with us of a father and a child. So hence we call him with love as Baba. Then he is Ruhani Shama. He is the spiritual flame. So Baba is the ignited lamp, and Baba says that he has come to awaken you all. And all are light has become dim and the light of the souls have become extinguished. So Baba has come to reignite those lamps. Then he is Khuda, the one who comes himself. The unlimited father himself comes and gives his own introduction. When there is defamation of the one who established this, the deity religion in Bharat, and he is pushed into pebbles and stones, then God says that yes, now it is my time to come. Then he is Avyakt Bhavdada, the angel. This Baba also becomes an angel, Brahma Baba, from being corporeal Brahma to becoming the pure and subtle angel. And Satyam, I already said that truth. He tells us the true knowledge. He does not tell anything false. He tells us what is right, what is wrong. And he also loves a honest heart. He loves a true heart. He does not like cunningness and all. So he is Satyam. Then he is Dukharta, Sukharta. So the remover of sorrow and bestower of happiness. So Baba says, I am the remover of sorrows and bestower of happiness. And he is called the father, and this father gives us infinite happiness. And he has also come to remove the curse of Ravan and give us our inheritance of happiness. And Shri Baba never hurts anyone, so he is Dukharta Sukharta. People on the path of ignorance think that God gives happiness and sorrow. However, God the Father does not do that business. This is according to the Dharma and according to the Karma philosophy, that what souls are experiencing and they receive the fruit of that action. Then he is Niswarth, the selfless one. Baba is the master of heaven in the sense that he creates it. He makes you the master, and he puts you and he puts the heaven in your hand. He is the server. He gives everything to the children and then he goes away. So he is obedient server, and he says, I am present in your service always. Then he is Vardata, the bestower of blessings. Baba is always bestower of blessings in each thought, in each word and each action. Then he is also Divya Mata, the divine mother. Like Brahma Baba is playing the role of mother at conference age. Then he is Khuda Dost. He is the companion. He is the friend. God is said to be friend, the number one friend who gives constant happiness to us. Then he is Parampriya and the supreme beloved. Baba is the one who is loved by the whole world and he is ever beautiful. In one of the Avyak Murli, 14th of April 1983, Baba has told that Shiva is the magic mantra. Shiva is a magic mantra. And now Baba says, remember me alone, I am your everything. And he says that I am your everything. Now the third part is why God is beautiful. So, I asked this question to few others also. What do you think, why God is beautiful? So many, many beautiful answers came. But I would like to ask you all first, what do you think, why God is beautiful? He is ever pure. He is detached. What else? Why God is beautiful? Because his beauty is immortal. He is always full. Because he is God. Yeah, that also answer is good. One of the answer was he is God. That is why he is beautiful. Ever pure. So very beautiful answers people gave to this question. That God is because he has unconditional love. His creation is so beautiful, so obviously he is beautiful. One of the brother answered that we children are very beautiful, and when children are beautiful, parents are also beautiful. So that is why God. So he wrote in that way. So that is why if children are beautiful, God, parent is also beautiful.
Many people see experience in their visions that he is so loving and beautiful.
He is so loving. That's why he is beautiful. Then God is beautiful because whomsoever come to know about him and start spending time with God, start experiencing his beauty. He is very detached. He does not interfere in anybody's karmas. He has equal and abundant love for all the souls of the world. He is absolutely pure. That's what we tell. He don't mind our mistakes and always gives us a second chance to improve. He does not get angry. Then one brother said, there is nothing like Modoff with God. So that is why he is beautiful. He doesn't ignore us.
No mood swings.
He does not ignore us but ignore our mistakes and guide us to overcome that. He is selfless. In spite of thousands of mistakes, he is a beautiful painter. He in spite of our thousands of mistakes, he still gives us a chance to improve, and he still loves us. Yeah, that we told, no, his creation is so beautiful, that is why he is beautiful. No matter how much we defame him, he still comes and gives us love. He is beautiful because he sees only beauty in others, and that makes him beautiful. He is very innocent. He is the owner of all beautiful things, so he is beautiful. Of this world, nature, and soul. And then, yeah, that's what, no, he sees beauty in everyone. That's why he is the best beautician. Yeah, because he creates beautiful world, so he is beautiful. He is the best beautician who sees only beauty.
Because he converts us from being ugly to beautiful.
He converts us from worthless to pound. Unconditional forgiveness. So these are some of the I asked my brother also, why God is beautiful? Why do you think Allah is beautiful? So he... Yeah, that's what I'm telling you now. Yeah, different names. What we say here is also there. So he told me that I told him, give me 10 reasons why God is beautiful. So he told me, I will give you 99 reasons why Allah is beautiful. And he took a snap of we have in Pansura this 99 names of Allah, and that is in the praise of Allah. So he gave me so many names. Few I will read. So he is the creator. Should I read in Arabic? Al-Khaliq. Al-Khaliq. Then, yeah. Then the incomparably great. Al-Azim. Al-Mujib, the responsive. The protector. Al-Wali. The one. Al-Wahid. Then, but there are some controversial things also which I... Like, you know, at one place it's written that he is the bestower of honor, and he gives disgrace also, something like that. So it's, yeah, Al-Muiz, Al-Shakur, and all those things are there. Then the most glorious, Al-Majid, the most great, Al-Kabir, the all-hearing, the As-Sami, the subduer, Al-Qahir, the bestower, Al-Wahhab, and the compassionate, all those things are there. So such 99.
All similar to what you are.
Giver of protection, giver of peace, giver of life, compassionate, free from blemishes, giver of peace, the self-glorious, almighty authority. So like that, 100, I don't know. I knew that question will come. Unknown. That's why one place is left. But these are praises, no? Names. So these are some of the names of God, and that's how He is so beautiful, because of His names and because of His duties, what He does at conference age. Now, if you see Baba Milan, just emerge that Baba Milan in front of you, and start seeing beauty in that Avyakt Bhav Dada, and we realize that that Baba, when he smiles, when he looks at his children, those wet eyes are so beautiful, and it really tells us that Baba is so beautiful. So much love is there, and see, he has so less gestures when he is on stage. He doesn't clap hands or laugh loudly, but that's royalty in him, and that makes him so beautiful. And he's really beautiful. Sometimes I contemplate that why he loves us so much, that in spite of doing so many mistakes, sometimes I ask Baba that we are not doing anything great, but still you love us. And actually we feel that yes, he is our companion. And so life throws so many challenges in front of us, but still he is always there to help us in spite of our mistakes and in spite of our wrong things. He still supports and cares. So that is why God is so beautiful. So that is Satyam, Shivam and Sundaram. Okay. Om Shanti.